Greetings, victims. For those of you who delight in dread, who fantasize about fear, who glorify gore, welcome. You have found the place where the horror returns. Listeners, beware. This podcast contains major plot spoilers and the foulest of language. Join us in celebrating the old and the new, the best and the worst in horror.
All right, welcome back, everybody, to the Horror Returns. I'm Lance. With me, as always, I've got my co-host, Brian, and my co-host, Philip, and our very special guest slash co-host in the middle is Pedro, back again. What's up?
Yeah, man? I already pretty much have a little bed here in this apartment, so I'm always with you guys now, which is awesome, by the way. I love it.
No, you guys killed it on March Madness, man.
Oh, I had a great time. It was fun going through that tournament. It was even more fun for the fact that I didn't have to host, which was always nice.
Yeah.
I got to kick back and just enjoy the show and throw in my two cents from time to time. That was good.
Well, always we needed a little bit of a guy perspective on that one.
Yeah.
Well, Philip was great too. Philip kicked it. You know, you hit a home run on that one as well. You were awesome. So.
And Brian.
We had to wake Brian up a couple times there, yeah. But
I heard about that.
He did his part as well.
All right. Well, thanks for coming back, man. It's Ghostbusters week, so we're going to see if Bustin makes you feel so good. But in the meantime, what's that, Brian?
What happened? What show is this?
Well, y'all were doing a female empowerment show, and now we're talking about Bustin making you feel so good. So, like, how did we end up here?
I think you brought us here.
Pedro, what's your cool of the week, man?
Well, I mean, I have a couple of them. I did text you off air, and I was like, just going to the movies was my cool of the week this week. So, for whatever reason, I had a whole day, right? I had a whole day, I think on Thursday. And I was like, let me go check out this new Ghostbusters movie because I want to do the whole IMAX thing.
Sure.
And hold on. And
did you get the D box?
What is that? No. Actually, I didn't. I think we have a theater that offers that, but yeah, but I didn't do that. So I looked at the schedule and I was like, holy shit! Immaculate starts right after Ghostbusters, and then I looked at the schedule again. I'm like, holy shit! Late Night with the Devil starts right after that. So
no kidding.
So I was like, you know, I have that AMC Stubbs gimmick thing that, you know, I rarely use nowadays because there's been nothing but shit that's come out. So I was like,
yes.
I get three movies a week. Could I do the three movies in one day? That was my thing. So I did. It does work. I did order three tickets for three different showings, which was awesome. Now the thing is, could I stay awake for all three of them? That's the multi-million dollar question.
That's the tough part.
You know, that was my thing when I was younger. And I used to love doing that. I used to go to the movie theater, and I would spend all day there. You know, in my 20s, I would love that stuff. You know, you would let the movies stack up, and then you just go one day and just fucking knock them all out. I hadn't done that in years. So I'm like, you know what? I got the whole day, which is rare. Let me go do this shit. You know, let me fucking make three movies out of this. I'm looking forward to all three of them. And so, yeah, I made a whole day out of there. I took my little break in between. You know, it was at a mall, so I got to go eat. And two out of the three films delivered. And that's all I'll tease it with
okay.
That.
Oh, that's all you're going to say for now. Okay. So yeah. we're not going to get reviews yet?
No. Well, because you're going to, I believe you're going to bring one up. And then one
Maybe.
Of them is
the yeah.
feature here. And I guess I could talk about Immaculate. That was a fucking great movie. It just really,
I saw that one too.
Surprised the fuck out of me. I just couldn't believe that I was watching like a straight up fucking 1970s exploitation film, like on the big screen with a big release. Like that was so fucking weird to me.
How cool is that?
It was fucking cool. It was like, And then I love how engaged the crowd that I was watching it with was. You know, usually these kind of films, they turn people off and you see people walking out of the theater. No, not in this case, people were there. They were cheering. They were really into it. And the film was excellent.
That ending.
Yes, that ending is going to piss off a lot of people in particular parts.
Okay.
That's all I'll say about that because we don't want to spoil it. But that ending took a lot of balls. I think Sydney Sweeney.
Yeah.
I think she swung for the fences and she hit it out. I think she was really invested. Gosh. Usually when you see these actresses make these kind of films, it's almost like they're above them, you know? And it's like, well, I'll just get through this. I know her fiance produced it, so maybe she was just doing him a favor, you know, shit like that. And I know she gets along with the director too, because she had already worked with him in the past. But so for a lot of these, you know, like in actors, they're doing it as a favor, you know, but not her, man. Mm-hmm. She fucking went all in on this fucking you know, character, this film. Cool. There's a little boobage action if you look close enough. Which whatever, you know, that's not what I watch films for, but hey, a bonus is a bonus, right? And so just everything about it, like she was all in, and you could also tell, and we'll get to this when we talk about Late Night with the Devil as well. You could also mm-hmm. tell like when a film has heart, and by that I mean when everybody really believes in it, like it bleeds through the screen, you know, and you could really feel it as an audience member. And I love that shit because the opposite is also true. You could also tell when people are going through the motions, which we'll get to in the big feature of tonight, in my opinion, anyway.
okay.
And so I had a great time with this film. It's just in this day and age when theaters are struggling for them to take a chance on a movie like this one, which is just fucking grimy and dirty and just, but it's also very scary. And it just, everything was paced so well. It flies by. It's like 89 minutes or something like that. So you're in and out. Mm-hmm. Good fucking movie. Good movie. I give it a 7 on 10, maybe even 8 on 10. The ending was amazing. It's very tense throughout and it keeps you guessing. Like there's like the little, you know, layers of an onion, you're just peeling through them and you're trying to find out what's going on. That was a fucking awesome time. And that was before I saw Late Night with the Devil. Cause that was the headliner on that night for me.
Yes, so, that's right.
That was going to be my next question is I didn't hear the third movie, Late Night with the Devil. That's the one I want to go see.
Yes, and that's another amazing movie, but I'll talk about it a little later on. And then I saw Ghostbusters, and we'll talk about it later on.
Okay. As well.
So that was my tool of the week, just getting to go to the movies and spending all day there. It was fucking awesome. I didn't sleep, I've disclosed on this show that I've had a hard time staying up just for one movie in the theater because I'm old and because I Kleiner gimmicks, you know, once you lay back on them, you're out, no matter how good the movie is. But not on this night, man. On this night, I was up, and it was all good.
Cool. Don't you miss your sticky, uncomfortable 80 seats?
No, I don't. I have a bad back, I have bad knees, and I need those recliners. And then another cool of the week is that I started revisiting those Marvel Netflix shows. I've been going through them.
Okay, like Daredevil and Luke Cage and...
Luke Cage, Iron Fist, The Defenders, and I started watching them again because I know that they're canon now, and you know I like to revisit the MCU from time to time. So I forgot how good these
are. Still canon?
Yeah, they're canon.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, for sure.
Because I think Daredevil, the new Daredevil, comes out later in this year, so I just kind of wanted to catch up on stuff. And I forgot how good those shows were and how different they were. They're so grimy and like mm-hmm. the violence. Is so hardcore on them, but also the writing's really good. I mean, other than the Defenders and Iron Fist, I think the three previous shows, you know, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Daredevil, they're all very good shows. I forgot that for Luke Cage, they brought in like everyone from The Wire, like the writers from The Wire, a lot of the actors that were in The Wire come out in Luke Cage. And so that was awesome, you know. And they do a great job of just really making you feel like you're in different parts of New York City, which is awesome, you know. So I've been revisiting that. And for people that have never seen them or for people that have, it's been a long time. Yeah, I encourage all of you to go check them out again because it's nice to just, it's refreshing to see good writing as compared to the Disney Plus MCU shows. you know, which is the opposite of the Netflix shows, I think. I mean, a lot of those shows have struggled just the way they tell their stories. So it was nice to see that they could actually make good shows if they treat them like TV shows and not just like mm-hmm. 6-hour movies, which is what they've been doing with the Disney Plus shows. Okay. So yeah, so that's been my cool of the week.
Not bad. I'm gonna bounce off that a little bit because I also saw Late Night with the Devil, mm-hmm. and easy cool of the week, Philip. Just so you know, man.
Yeah, I'm excited about that one.
I can't believe, and Pedro, Brian, have you seen it yet?
No.
I'm freaked out by how fucking realistic it looked. Because I remember when I was a kid, 77, I would have been 9 years old, okay? And I remember a bunch of that shit coming on late at night, like Halloween specials, late night talk shows, and, you know, like, you knew the guys were, like, full of shit. Even wrestling back then, guys. Like, my dad and I used to watch wrestling back in those days.
You used to watch wrestling, Lance?
I did with my dad.
What happened?
Well, I don't know what happened, but there was, I remember one night, there was one dude that was, like, looking at the camera, and he was, like, moving his eyes, like, left to right and, like, crossing his eyes, and I was, like, I literally started getting hypnotized, like, in my own mind, you know? And I was just,
fuck?
Like, yeah, I was freaking out, because he was, like, because the wrestler said, I'm going to hypnotize everyone in the audience now, and I started, like, just really feeling it, freaking out. I thought it was real.
So I wonder if it was Kevin Sullivan, because he would do stuff like
was
that.
Was it? Oh, shit.
He was in Florida, though, before you got to Florida. He wasn't
yes.
in Texas.
Well, this was in Longview, Texas, where I grew up, where we watched it on TV. But I'm sure it was wrestling from all over. But
in the 70s, it was still regional. Everybody
yeah.
still had
was
their
it?
Rest. Yeah.
Okay. All right, well, whatever.
Before
whatever
Andre the
watched,
Giant came out.
maybe it was like Northern Texas or Dallas. Oh, it was probably Dallas region, right? Because that's where the...
That was before... that was the late 70s?
Late 70s, Dallas, probably, right?
Yeah, okay. Sportatorium stuff, yeah.
Yes, Sportatorium, that's right.
But I know my shit, Lance.
I know you do, man. I know you do too, Brian, but... Yeah, Late Night with the Devil. I honestly thought I was watching like a 1977 TV show, and it was like in real time, right? So as you were watching it,
great fucking movie. It just left me floored. Mm-hmm. After a whole day of movie watching, it just left me floored. Like I hadn't had a movie hit me like that in a horror movie in a very long time. The atmosphere was great. That production value was phenomenal. Like you said, you felt
no
like
kidding,
you were,
man.
Now, I will say, that's one of those rare movies, though, mm-hmm. that I feel like it was made, and you could tell it was made, because they do that little gimmick where they cut half of the screen, because it was, I think it was made for TV. Like, I know it's going to be on Shudder relatively soon, and so I feel like that movie would have been more impactful if you watch it in your living room, like how the show was meant to be, right? If you watch it in your living room with your family, with all the lights off, I feel like it would have been more impactful, but it was still cool to see it in the theater. With a crowd, you know, with a crowd and whatnot, and just feel the tension because it's very much like Immaculate. It's also a movie that's revealing things as it's going on, you know.
Yes.
So it was very tense. The atmosphere was very tense for that movie. Yeah, like you said, I think it paid tribute to a lot of the charlatans of that era. You know,
mm-hmm. there was the skeptic guy.
Yeah, there was that skeptic was also because I remember because I'm all into that occult shit as well. Like I've gone through my phases where I'm knee deep into those rabbit holes, and there was that one guy. Remember that one guy in the 80s that would go around exposing all these guys, the guys that would bend the spoons. And,
yes.
and forget his name, something Randy, something. But he was he became a big thing as exposing all these charlatans. Mm-hmm. And there's a character that plays a big part in the movie. I'm not going to spoil it. But, you know, so you're kind of bouncing back and forth. And he's kind of like the skeptic, though, not saying this is all bullshit, whatever. And then, you know, shit hits the fan later on. But it's an amazing movie. People need to support it and check it out. Although if you can, then it is going to be streaming like a month from now. So it's probably going to be SM,
yes.
but just watching it there as well. Because I feel like this movie was made for that.
James Randi.
James Randi, that's right.
James Randi. Okay.
Well, and I really like the polka dot man. Like,
yes. Oh, he's an intense
dude. He had to carry it. He had to carry this whole fucking movie, and he was awesome. He caught all the little mannerisms that you see all this, like, this late night show host. Like,
yes,
like,
absolutely. You know the little jokes, Pedro?
The little jokes. Also, like the way he stood, like, you know how all these guys, when they're doing their monologues, they put their one hand in their pocket, and they're, like, pantomiming with the other hand? He did I was like, oh, shit, this guy, he did his research for this fucking part, because he got all those little, like, mannerisms down perfectly.
I was a little surprised when they brought in, like, the Grove, like the rich guys and stuff like that. They go to their secret meetings and stuff like that, because we've all heard of Bohemian those stories,
Grove?
Right?
Yeah,
Bohemian Grove.
Yeah, they called it the Grove. They couldn't. I think they couldn't call it the Bohemian Grove.
Calm down, Ryan Garcia.
And they even show Molek the Owl. See, I know this shit because, like I said, I've dug deep into this shit.
I'm telling you, it's really interesting.
Well, like, Philip, you would love this movie, man.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm totally excited about it.
Now, the thing about that Bohemian Grove is that Walter Cronkite is the voice of that owl, yo. Like, that's fucking creepy.
Really?
Like, well, Alex, years ago, Alex Jones snuck in there.
I watched that video, he's not
into the camera. Who the fuck knows with that guy, right? Could all be a fucking act. But the point is that he snuck in there, and you could hear the owl talk. Like, the owl's actually, the fucking Molek is talking.
Yeah.
And he's like, that sounds like Walter Cronkite. I knew it was Walter Cronkite from the very minute. I knew that. And we're hearing it right here, ladies and gentlemen. We're hearing it right here, right now. And so
is trying to eat your babies, okay?
and then at the end, you know, all those hooded figures come and chase them off, and then the typical shit cuts off. But so I think they had to bring that up because it was the plot device for the ending of the film.
Sure.
Now, Lance, I will say this, and I did share this with you on text. I was like, the ending didn't quite land for me.
I know.
It got a little wacky there at the end, but. Yeah. What I would call the semi before the ending, that shit was fucking insane, dude. Like,
and the little actress, right, that played the possessed girl, maybe she was possessed, maybe she wasn't. Wow, she was good, huh?
She was really, really good. And these are all Australians too, because I did my research on this film. It was like, they're all from Australia. The guys that directed are from Australia, so
no kidding. Yeah. Okay.
Good
movie. Where's the polka dot man from? He's like a New Zealand guy, isn't he?
No, he's a. He just does a bunch of wacky things in different films.
Okay.
I think he's an American.
You can't fucking tell now. Every once in a while, you know, you see somebody in an interview and they've got like a fucking British accent. And you're like, wait a minute.
Yeah, hold on. Like Jax from Sons of Anarchy.
Throws all off. Like, we're like, what the fuck?
Whatever, dude. He's got the worst American accent I've ever heard.
All right. Well, safe to say we all agree that was definitely a cool of the week, right, Pedro? Cool of the week,
and people need to watch it any way they can.
All right, moving on.
I have one this week. I watched The Three Body Problem. It's a new thing on
Netflix. Oh, that's awesome. I've seen Netflix. The first three episodes. I love it.
Yeah, it's pretty fucking cool. It's like alien stuff, alien invasion kind of a thing, but like from a scientific perspective.
Or is it?
Well, I think they make that pretty clear from the first episode.
Kind of, but it's also sort of like multiple universes, right? Like the
Or is it?
They go into that a little bit. It's pretty interesting. It starts out in like the Cultural Revolution of Mao's China, you know? And it's a cool fucking show, man. I was pretty impressed with it. It caught my attention for sure, and I binged the whole thing.
Oh, no shit. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
They left it on. They left it totally open. I hated the ending.
Ah, so there will be a season two.
I hope so.
Okay.
Yeah, if they didn't intend on having a season two, then they totally flopped it. But yeah, gotcha. Assuming there's going to be a season two, they didn't leave it on a giant cliffhanger, but.
The thing about Netflix, though, that's on Netflix, right?
Yeah.
The thing about them is that lately they cut bait, man, and that's why it's hard for me to invest in these shows, because they're known to do that. I mean, before they wouldn't do that. Now that they're penny pinching a little bit, they if it doesn't meet the metrics that they want, those shows are canceled. And there's been a few of them that have all these cult followings that never get a second season because they just fucking cancel them. And so it's hard for me to just invest in that. And it's like, you know, I don't want to leave a show with an open ending like that, you know?
Agreed.
Quick, let's get another Adam Sandler movie.
Spaceman was kind of I kind of wanted more comedy in it, but it is what it is. You know?
Hey, there's no comedy in it. That's how you really got ripped off.
Right.
There's a little, but it's subtle.
Opera Man didn't show up and start singing, that's for sure.
I'm still a huge Sandler fan, though. I like just about every, even that Hubie Halloween bullshit that was so fucking stupid was kind of fun.
Halloween. All right, so Brian, Three Body Problem, is that yours also?
I started it. I'm not far enough along to talk about it. I kind of started it late, so I didn't want to. It seemed like something I need to pay attention to, and I was getting kind of tired.
A lot going on, man.
Yeah, so since I was already on Netflix, I threw on the new Millie Bobby Brown fantasy action movie, Damsel.
Oh, I watched that a couple weeks ago. Talk about it.
Never heard of that. Okay.
If you're looking for a good fantasy action adventure, it's decent. It's definitely hard not to see her. I mean, she's a young woman now, but it's still hard to not see her as 11.
Play up the sex appeal, though, especially towards the end.
Uh-oh. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
You're like, holy shit, she's grown up.
I don't think I want to see that.
And I also, like when Pedro mentioned, I also saw Immaculate. I agree with Pedro. She took a swing and knocked it out the park, Sydney Sweeney, which makes up for...
Adam Webb?
Yeah, which she didn't even take a swing at all.
Nobody did. I know you guys... Oh, I haven't even been on to bury the fuck out of that movie. Like, that fucking movie was just... That's one of those movies that it makes you wonder, like, how the fuck does that get through all these fucking suits? Like, and I know they have their little formula, right? Which is what's wrong with Hollywood. That's why I call it Mug Hollywood, the assembly line of movie making.
Yeah.
And it's like, God damn. But that one, they weren't even close, you know? It's just, what audience were they trying to reach with that? Like, I don't know. And I hope they learned their lesson from that film, because they're probably going to blame everyone else except them, you know, and that's what they tend to do. But that movie was just horrendous. And everybody has already buried it, so I'm not going to bury it anymore. But nobody fucking tried in that movie. People ran. Dakota Johnson talked shit in the press tour. She talked shit about that fucking movie. So, you know, I feel bad for the director, though, because who knows what. That's the kind of shit that kills a director's career. And who even knows if it was what was her saying, what wasn't. Sure. But, yeah, it's just... horrendous fucking movie.
I wonder about that on a lot of movies now. I'm like, who are you trying to make this movie for?
I feel like they
good audience.
I feel like they had a release date that needed to be filled. They went through all the papers that was sitting on the desk in the little bin. Mm-hmm. They're like, Madam Web, Spider-Man character, let's do it.
But even with this film's even worse, because there's fundamentals that are fucked up in this film. I understand when a movie's bad, and nobody ever wants to make a bad movie, right? We know that. But the we know that the lead hero in this film, if you like movies, you know, he's a guy that has a hard time talking English. We know that because he's not an American. Mm-hmm. But the dubbing here was fucking like horrendous. Like there's a scene where he's not talking. Like we could see that the guy's not talking, but there's dialogue coming out of his mouth. How does that get through? The editing, like you could tell it was overdubbed, you know, and it's like little things like that is what make this movie more of an embarrassment than it already is.
And Pedro, I know the scene you're talking about perfectly, because for a second there, I was like, is he telepathic? And then I was just like, no, it's bad dubbing.
Seems like two scenes into the movie, you'd be like, hey, can we put a mask on this guy or something?
Yes,
he has a Spider-Man costume.
Oh.
Doesn't he? Because it doesn't show that he wears it. Sometimes he's wearing it, sometimes he doesn't. Mm-hmm. It's just they don't follow their own logic. His death is fucking ridiculous with that Pepsi sign. Yes, I'm giving it away. Right. Who gives a shit? You could stream it already if you want. It's just fucking ridiculous. That movie, I don't know. That's the kind of movie that really, it's mind-boggling how it gets made. And it's fucked up because you know there's so many original scripts laying there of these great possible films, and they waste on shit like this, you know? Just ridiculous.
Hmm. Yeah, because they talked about it over on the Geeks podcast. Sony turned down. Well, they were going to make it, but decided not to. A Batman Beyond animated movie that was going to be in the same style as Spider-Verse.
Oh, wow.
Okay. And they showed the pictures, and it looked amazing.
That'd be cool.
So where's that movie?
They dropped it.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
I don't know if they thought this was too good for us.
I guess.
Nobody will ever think this great idea came from us.
That's Sony, Brian?
Sony, yep.
Yikes. So is your Cool of the Week a Sony movie then?
No, I'm going to go different this week. I checked out, I was listening to the Final Guys podcast. I've been trying to catch up on their podcast. And one of the hosts brought up a YouTuber that I guess based off of the work he's done on his YouTube channel, got signed by A24.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the web series he was talking about is called The Oldest View. And it's a 4-part series. You can skip 1 and 4 and just watch the second and third episodes.
Mm-hmm.
It's about a guy who he's a vlogger. He finds this hole in this he trespasses in this area he's not supposed to be. He finds this tree that has a hole in the ground that has a staircase that just goes down. I think that's like majority of the second episode is how far the stairs go. And when he finally gets to the bottom, it's a shopping mall, an abandoned shopping mall.
Underground?
Yeah. And
oh, wow. Okay.
Shit starts to happen. I don't want to really give it away. But the main thing that I thought was amazing is everywhere he's walking in is not real. He did it all himself with special effects.
Oh, I think I know who you're talking about.
Yeah. And apparently when he made this, he was 16 years old in high school.
Oh, wow. Talent. Okay. It's impressive.
Way more impressive than anything that was in Madam Web.
Or CGI Madam Web.
So that's what I wonder when I see like the really shitty special effects in some of these movies and you're like, how many millions of dollars did you spend on this fucking movie?
It makes you think who, like Pedro said, who's making these decisions because he makes something that I've seen as far as the CGI wise, better than multi-million dollar movies. And these big companies don't pick him up. It's A24 that picks him up.
Right.
It's like this new Godzilla movie that's going to come out. This new Godzilla versus Kong. It's like when I see this trailer, it just looks like one of those films that was made by the suits, you know? And it to me, I'm still watching a cartoon. I was telling Lance, like, I hope they fix the CGI because all I'm seeing is like all these fucking little cartoon monkeys running around.
Yes.
And if that's how it looks, if that is the final product, there's going to be some shit talking when this shit comes out because goddamn, that looks horrible. Especially because you know it's going to be compared to -1, which was phenomenal. And
I can't compare the two. They're two totally different things.
I mean, people are going to do that. You know, it's just the way people are. And so it's going to be, well, I mean, -1 was definitely the better movie. I mean, I could say that right now. Without I don't deal in absolutes in my life because that's always wrong. But I will say this right now, right? Godzilla -1 is better than this fucking Godzilla versus Kong movie that's going to come out next week or this week or whatever.
It's got to be. Absolutely, yeah. There'll be no comparison, man. But we're going to go see it, aren't we, Brian?
Yep.
So, Brian, what's your Cool of the Week? What is it called?
The Oldest View. And the guy, his YouTube channel is Ken Pixels. His real name is Ken Parsons. He's the one that I think he's like 18, 19 now. And he, based off of these web series, he's got a deal with A24.
Ooh, nice.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing him and some more shit.
Some good stuff coming out. All right, cool. So we got that. And, oh, shit, it's time for news, Brian. You got some news, some news articles?
Got a few. Kind of slow this week. Have you guys ever seen the movie Deathstalker, Sword and Sandal movie from Sorcery movie from back in the day?
Yes.
Years ago, though. Yeah.
Not that
80s, right?
Yes.
Late 80s?
Steve Kostanski, who did The Void and Psycho Gorman,
yep.
Is directing a new reimagining of the, they call it, I guess it's a cult Sword and Sorcery series, Deathstalker.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, those films have like a huge cult following, so we'll see how he does with this franchise.
Yeah. Let's see. Little non-horror news. Universal is actively developing sequels to Nobody and Violent Night, which I thought that was already a thing, so I don't know.
I thought it was too.
This was announced.
Well, I don't know about a sequel to Nobody, but that was a great movie.
Well, I really didn't think it was going to happen when he had his heart condition.
Oh.
Yeah, I could see that.
But
it isn't the John Wick universe, right, Brian?
Allegedly.
Okay.
I think everything's in the John Wick universe now. They're trying to squeeze everything into that universe.
Makes sense.
Let's see. David Schwimmer will star in the second season of Goosebumps.
Wow.
Sure. And Jennifer Aniston, right? And the Leprechaun.
What's going on with those friends' residuals? Are they getting less and less by the year or what?
I guess so.
God damn. Second season of Goosebumps.
Yeah. Which I enjoyed it, watching it with my daughter. She will not be watching the second season because she's not liking the anthology style where they're going to have a new cast for every season, because she felt like the original cast had more story to tell.
Okay. I can see that. Not, she's not a Schwimmer fan, huh?
We had a discussion with him. We had a discussion about Friends.
Uh-huh.
And what's the other one that everybody, not Friends, but the other?
Urkel? Family Matters? Or what?
You went to Urkel. That was where you went to.
I think you're talking about Seinfeld,
Sabrina,
right?
The Seinfeld? Teenage Witch. Yeah. I don't know.
Thank you, Pedro. Seinfeld.
Okay.
Seinfeld.
We were just having a conversation. Has she seen any of those? And
right.
She's watched a little bit of Friends. Not a big fan of Friends.
What?
I'm not a big fan of Seinfeld. I don't think it's funny at all.
I don't know. With me, it's like a cultural thing. I gotta wear some shades. Right? A little too white for me. Let's just put it that way. I just never got the memo on either. And I tried. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, okay.
Seinfeld's
just never been funny to me with his whole, well, you know the thing about coffee. And
what is with this coffee?
Yeah.
What's the deal?
we all talked about Immaculate and the Devil, the Late Night with the Devil. They all had the biggest opening weekend for their respective distribution labels.
Very nice. Very
Immaculate.
Nice.
With Neon and Late Night with the Devil with IFC Films.
Good. I'm glad we're hearing that. Now, you're saying like ever, right, for both of them? This weekend, because they only had one movie out each, so they would. So you're saying like of all time.
Yeah, biggest opening weekend that's
impressive.
I'm liking these newer production companies, man. IFC Midnight hasn't really put out any trash that I can remember.
No, they've never let us down, man. A24's,
yeah. I mean, it's like nothing but bangers.
Yep.
And they had some great trailers, too. Like, I was seeing the trailers, and I was like, holy shit, they're all good movies.
Yes, yes. One we're going to talk about tonight.
Okay.
And finally...
Yeah, you're right about that.
You guys ready to go to the Pooniverse?
The what?
The Winnie the Pooh.
No.
I was like, well, this show took a
not
turn.
That kind of poem.
Okay. Which wouldn't be the first time, let's be real about it, but I was wondering if we're going to go that route.
Monsters Assemble, set for 2025 release. This will be an Avengers-style movie featuring various key villains from the Twisted Childhood universe that started with Winnie the Pooh, Blood and Honey. The film will see Pooh team up with Bambi, Tinkerbell, Pinocchio, Peter Pan, Tigger, Piglet, the Mad Hatter, and Sleeping Beauty. And as of recording this right now, the sequel to Blood and Honey has got 100% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, and you know it's only critics right now, which is crazy.
Uh-huh. Which last time I checked, it was 100% with the critics and like 80% with the audience score.
Audience. Ugh.
So is that one out there already?
The second one?
Yeah.
I think they're doing that like they did last year with the first one, or not last year when it originally came out. Like
yeah. I try to get my ticket and it's excluded from A-list, so I'm not gonna pay for that shit. Now here's the thing. I'm gonna show you guys how hood I could get. So back in the day before the pandemic, like with AMC, I could only do this with AMC because I had the card. What I would do is I would pay. So all the ones that were excluded from A-list, they usually put them on at 7 o'clock local time. I don't know if you guys they do
right,
that.
Right.
Where you guys are. Like
Three from Hell was that way. I had.
Yes. So what I would do is I would pay for a movie that would get covered by my A-list card, and then I would just sneak into that movie and I would watch it. But nowadays here in LA, they stop. They don't put the banners on the entrance anymore. You don't know.
I know. They trick you now, don't they?
Like, what the fuck? So I can't. Like, unless I go in there and just walk into every fucking screening room, which is not going to happen, by the way.
It's not like fucking, the old days.
I'm too fucking old for that. So I can't do that anymore. So I'm like, fuck it. I'm not going to pay for this fucking. It'll be streaming within, like, a couple weeks anyway.
Yeah. Hopefully. Yeah. Hopefully.
You guys remember Theater Hopping?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Big time.
I used to do that all the time. That's what I'm saying.
I got a theater here. You can do it now. Like the oldest person working on the floor is not is barely old enough to drive.
Yeah.
Oh.
And don't care. Like
three employees.
My theater is the opposite. The youngest person that works there is like 60. So they don't give a shit. They're like, oh, go on in, Sonny. See whatever you want to go see, young man.
And all these years.
Hey, Sonny, fuck.
All these years of me going to that theater, the only time I've ever seen an adult that was a manager, they just walked out of one door and walked through another door. Was barely on the floor for a minute.
I didn't want to fuck with the customers.
Yeah. Just pay me. I'm going home.
Yeah, all but right. that's cool like 90% of the time. But when you have like a tentpole movie, like an Avengers movie, and you want to get your concessions, that's a fucking nightmare because everybody's confused. They don't know what the fuck's going on. They're giving you the wrong order, and it's just that's when you pay for all this shit. So anyways,
I get it.
Bring a little flask in your pocket.
Well, that's the news.
All right, Pedro, you ready for the trailer park?
Let's go.
Brian is going to bring us the big, the small, and sometimes the very, very weird. What's the first new trailer tonight, Brian?
A new slasher film called In a Violent Nature. This stars pretty much nobody I've ever heard of.
Okay.
Directed and written by Chris Nash. Now,
have we heard of Chris Nash?
He's done a lot of effects. I've heard the name before. Okay. He's worked. Yeah, he's worked on. Didn't you interview this director? not this guy, Chris Nash.
Maybe
the guy that
not Kevin Nash. Like, that's another. Another Nash.
That'd be a fantastic interview. The guy that directed Life Changers.
Philip, remind me. Did we?
Maybe.
I don't remember
that one.
We definitely need to get some interviews going again. That's for sure.
Well, he did effects for that movie. He did a special effects for The Void.
Ah, all right.
So he's an effects guy. That Psycho Gorman. I think this is his first directorial movie.
I don't mind it when the effects guys get in the director's chair.
Yeah, no, they usually do a good job.
They're fans. They're usually so they know. The only thing that concerns me about this film, there's two things that concern me. First, he's a huge fan of Terrence Malick. Now, if anybody has ever watched a Terrence Malick movie, they're great movies. Don't get me wrong. I love them. But you have to be in a mood for a Terrence Malick film. You just don't throw it on.
True.
And it's like watching a film with subtitles. You have to be in a mood. And you have to psych yourself up for these kind of films. Mm-hmm. So, and then also the premise of this film, the fact that it takes place from the point of view of the killer. Mm-hmm. Or so they say. And in the trailer, you see a lot of him just kind of walking around and, you know, beating up people. Although you do see POVs from other perspectives. So I don't know how they're going to pull that off. But I don't know, man. This is one of those films where I hear the Terrence Malick thing and I hear the perspective of the killer.
Yeah. It should get weird, huh?
It's very artsy-fartsy to the point of like, come on, what are you doing here? But it's also interesting. And the trailer...
It looks good.
It looks very exploitive, which I love. And so I'm looking forward to it. I'm going to be there opening day for sure.
I think this is a Shudder release.
No, it's going
to... Yeah. Malik did what? The Tree of Life?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Okay. Well, that doesn't make me excited.
Just kidding.
Little pretentious, Philip.
These guys could get pretentious very, very fast, which is what...
Right. Smell the fart filmmaking.
it's getting a theater release.
Yeah, because I saw the trailer for both Immaculate and Late Night with the Devil.
Yes.
Okay. And I think it's a Neon release too. So
looks. Yeah, I think
it's the Shutter films. That's right.
All
right. That's weird. You're getting the whole boom, 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 boom in the movie theater. That was fucking.
It definitely looks like Jason.
No doubt, man. I'm in.
From the preview, it looks pretty cool, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
New twist on the old slasher. I kind of wanted to stick from the perspective of the killer, kind of like Elijah Wood Maniac movie.
That was a good one.
I wonder if the whole movie's just going to be the camera following this guy around from the back.
Could be.
And here's the thing, though. So I'm here on the Wikipedia page for it, and it says commentators have drawn comparisons between In a Violent Nature and slow cinema.
That's
slow cinema. Like that's okay. Where it's like nothing happens for like three, four minutes, right. And you're just looking at a forest, and you're supposed to have some sort of like existential light from that.
I don't know about that.
Maybe that's not the smell the fart movie making again.
No. Slow cinema like Skinamarink or like House of a Thousand Corpses where Walton Goggins is about to get shot.
That's different. That's aesthetics. That's an aesthetic. Actually, they're all aesthetic choices, but more like Skinamarink or whatever the fuck that movie is.
Oh, yikes. Ouch.
Yeah. But I'm looking forward to it because the trailer did sell me on it. So.
Yeah, me too. Me too.
May 31st.
All right.
It's still a waste.
And finally, yes, Lance, another Cronenberg. Caitlin Cronenberg's Humane.
How many of these motherfuckers are there?
People are like the Wayans brothers.
No doubt.
What the fuck?
This stars Jay Baruchel, Emily Hampshire, Peter Gallagher. I thought that was Ezra Miller for a second.
Director video people here.
Which I've looked up Caitlin's filmography. Kind of looked like she wasn't just given a chance to direct. She had to like work a bunch of different jobs on different movies.
Okay.
According to Lance, she's already better than her father. So there is that.
According to Lance, a lot of people are better than their father.
Hey, is this about global warming or what? Is that what the movie's about?
I think it looks like it's about population control.
The hard way. Yeah. Like it or not, huh?
Yeah, you volunteer. You can't back out after you volunteer.
Right.
There's a scene where the guy's basically like, because it appears that one of the volunteers ran away, and he was like, well, we came here for two.
Mm-hmm.
So who's it going to be?
And we're not leaving with just one. Jeez.
What do you think, Pedro?
Looks pretty good.
It looks pretty good. I don't think it's going to get a theatrical, though, is it? It's going to be just straight to digital, I guess.
It probably will get a small...
XYZ films. They usually tend to go straight to digital.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I'll check it out.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if she's as good as the father and the brother, because I'm a fan of both of them. Lance, I don't think the son is better than the father ever.
Okay.
Well, based off of what, two movies? Three movies?
Well, maybe Caitlin will surpass both of them then. Who knows?
I wonder if she's big on the body horror. I guess we'll find out.
Probably.
Maybe we'll have her on next year for the female empowerment round 2.
There you go.
That'd be awesome.
All right, Humane comes out possibly in theaters, but probably digital April 26th.
Okay. Right around the corner.
Yeah.
And we're not going to talk about it, but for you action movie fans, the new Bad Boys movie trailer dropped today.
Oh, boy.
There's a new Bad Boys movie?
Yep.
Still, when is that one coming out?
Still Will Smith and Martin?
Yep. May? I want to say May or June.
What is that one subtitled?
Ride or Die.
Oh, God.
It's not subtitled The Slap?
No, because you just expect him to slap people in this movie.
True, true.
Jada Pinkett Smith is the bad guy?
Oh, that would be an amazing
movie. That would be awesome.
That'd be great. They do That'd be great.
The turn of the chair.
Yes.
It's got a little.
Oh, yeah.
Little
so it looks like this setting. This time they're on the run. That's the difference. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. On to listener feedback. This week we shine the podcast spotlight on Sinisterhood. Sinisterhood is a comedy podcast about all things sinister, covering true crime, cults, cryptids, unsolved mystery, and strange phenomena. That is right up my alley. Join Dallas-based comedians and best friends Christy Wallace and Heather McKinney each Wednesday as they bring you weekly episodes with plenty of research, lots of laughs, and legal insight from Heather, a licensed attorney.
Oh, wow.
Plus catch all new odd but true tales submitted by listeners every Friday. That's cool.
Comedian, that's a lawyer.
Yeah. Nice. Take it. Regarding Death Rider. Lars.
Come on.
Hey, Lars is back.
All right. Lars from Denmark.
I've heard it's unwatchable. Zim Vader says I can't wait to see it. I guess we'll find out.
Isn't he Glenn Danzig apologist, this Zim Vader fellow?
Yes.
He's like, he runs a punk band though, so is like one of his idols.
Hey, listen, man, I have a tattoo of the Misfits on my right arm. I'm a big fan of Glenn Danzig. I remember when the original Wolverine auditions were happening, I wanted this dude to get the part. I think a lot of people wanted this dude to get the part because he's essentially like the cartoon version of Wolverine if you really compare both of them. And he's a tiny guy.
Yeah.
But
kind of old now.
What I was going to say is that, you know, shit is shit. And the films that I've seen from this guy are not very good. Let's just put it that way.
Mm. Have you seen Death Rider?
No, I haven't. And I want to. But then again, I don't. Because
it'll change what you think about it. Especially as a, even if you think he's a bad filmmaker, it might even change that.
Yeah, so I'm going to avoid that film. It just, nobody has said anything good about it.
Regarding Leprechaun 3, Ariel Wellman says, Migold. Regarding Return to Silent Hill, Matthew McFarlane says, hope to see more of Pyramid Head in this one. And Glenn Denice.
Denice? Glenn Danzig.
Nope. Says, full disclosure, it's going to fucking suck.
We'll talk about it when the trailer comes out. I know the guy. I thought the first Silent Hill was decent, and the guy that did that one's doing the new one.
Okay.
So, but is this a reboot or is this a continuation of the previous two films?
I think a soft reboot.
Okay. That's the buzzword nowadays: soft reboots.
Right.
Soft.
Right.
Reboot.
Well, still kind of
reimagining.
Still kind of a sequel, but yeah. That's what it sounds like.
Okay.
Liliana Molina Alambi says, when is it coming out? This year?
Supposedly, but you know, the whole strike thing kind of shook up release dates.
Oh, yeah.
But I say it will come out this year.
Regarding Chucky, Tamara Moon says, I just started watching this. I really like it.
Nice.
Yeah, the last four are going to drop sometime, when is it, in October, right, or something like that?
The
remaining four. Yeah, the remaining four.
I think, yeah, starting,
President,
starting April.
President April, Sawa. Okay. President Devin Sawa.
Regarding the post on the Facebook page, Tanya Williams says, y'all really need to start telling us where these are playing or just stop putting movies up.
Oh. Well, Brian, can we do that?
I seen a bunch of comments, and I'm not bashing anybody.
Okay.
I feel like I am, too bad. But there's been a lot of comments of, why didn't you put the release date of this poster when the release date is clearly on the poster?
On the poster.
Don't comment, this is an awesome poster, but you didn't tell us where it came out. I do a lot of posting for our social media.
Yeah, it's the awareness that you all should be thankful for, damn it. The awareness that we bring to you guys, not so much the fucking release dates. Well, they're there on the poster already.
And streaming can always change by the day, so can the release dates. True. But, Google it. I don't know. but that's it for listener feedback. Our show intro and new logos come from Steve Carlton from The Geeks. Thank you, Steve. Our original skull artwork comes from Natsulani. Check her out on Instagram. And if you'd like to help us out, please consider becoming a Patreon patron. We'll let you pick the movies for a future show at any amount, and for $5 or more a month, also pick a commentary for a future bonus show. On to featured attractions. This week, we bust some ghosts. Because busting makes you feel good. With the brand new Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, and we go back to 1989 for Ghostbusters 2 Classic. We'll start with Ghostbusters 2 from 1989.
At the stroke of midnight, on New Year's Eve of the last decade of the 20th century, America's largest city is about to pay for the nastiness of its inhabitants. When that day comes, when the slime starts to rise,
the Titanic just arrived.
When ghosts start arriving by the boatload,
we gotta find the guys.
There's only one thing to do.
Look out! Sometimes weird things happen. Someone has to deal with it. And who are you gonna call?
All right, suck in the guts, guys. We're the Ghostbusters.
The superstars of the supernatural are back.
The discovery of a massive river of ectoplasm and a resurgence of spectral activity allows the staff of the Ghostbusters to revive the business. Director is Ivan Reitman, also known for Stripes and Cannibal Girls.
Okay, that's a classic.
And writers are Dan Aykroyd and Harold Ramis. While the role of Viggo was played by Wilhelm von Homburg, okay. All his lines were dubbed by Max von Sydow.
Uh-oh.
Wilhelm left the premiere in anger when he found out.
That's fucked up because they didn't tell him that. How is it that you don't even know? Like, how do you show up to the premiere and like, oh, what the fuck?
I hope he sounds like Arnold and he left and he was just like, blah!
Is that the problem? He was too German or what?
He was one of the henchmen in the first Die Hard movie. And he does talk in that one.
Okay.
But I can't remember for sure, but I don't remember not being able to understand him, so.
Especially when it's by Max von Sydow, who's one of the legendary actors of our time, you know?
Oh, and
it's
no doubt, yeah.
You know what's going to get out of this motherfucker dubbed you, you know?
Mm-hmm. Why don't they just get him to play Viggo instead?
Yeah, he would have been great. He would have been great.
And the thing to me is, like, when did they find out it was going to be a move? Because how awkward would it have been on set when, like, Ivan Reitman's trying to give direction?
Sure.
And this Wilhelm von Homburg fellow, he's like, what I'd like to do like this line this way. Would you allow me to do that? Everybody's like, yeah, go ahead. It's like, no, I'm gonna dub you anyway.
Knock yourself out.
Or I'm just speculating. Maybe he was so bad
But oh no, you could be, you could have a point there, Brian.
They're they should like, have got Max von Sydow to overdub that Madame Web villain, and we wouldn't have had that. But I think Max von Sydow's dead. So.
He still would have did a better job.
Oh no.
Hey. All right, Pedro, what'd you think about Ghostbusters 2?
Well, I tried to watch it really quickly because I got the to
be on late. Fast forward?
No, no, I didn't fast forward. I had it on when you guys called, so I just got about halfway through it. But I don't know. It was silly to me. It wasn't as good or as legendary as the first one, and really nothing happened since the first one. Right. This one was more comedy, but it was that annoying kind of like 80s comedy that I don't like, you know.
Sure.
But I saw like Bill Murray's all over the place, kind of like, you know, he kind of wants to hook up with what's her name, Sigourney Weaver's character, but doesn't. Right. And then the whole baby thing. So I wasn't really getting into it, is what I'm trying to say. I didn't get to
the poor, poor man. You named after a hot dog.
I didn't get to the part where the, you know, the parts where they pull from this movie with the Statue of Liberty walking and all that shit. I didn't get to the part. And they used the Nintendo fucking joystick or whatever, the controller.
I used to have that.
But I don't know. I just didn't feel like it was grabbing me. So I think I got distracted. And I started being on my phone after a while. So that was that's my review of this movie.
You remember the Power Glove?
Yes.
Yeah, Freddy used it, and Freddy's dead to kill.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The Power Glove.
All right.
My high score. That's when he kills the kid.
Nice graphics.
What was that movie? That movie from 2 years ago on HBO, 64-bit Christmas or whatever, with the Power Glove. Y'all remember that?
I didn't.
With the Doogie.
Is that one of those rom coms that you watch from time to time, Lance?
No, it was like
that you like.
I think it was kind of reminiscent of like a Christmas Story or something like that. Like
instead of a kid remembering. Instead of a BB gun, it was a Nintendo.
Yes.
All right, Brian, what'd you think?
I have a soft spot for this movie. I don't think it's nowhere near as good as the original one. Okay. But this wasn't the first Ghostbusters movie I've seen when I was a kid. Of course, it was the original one. But this was the first one I saw in the theaters.
Ah, okay.
And I still remember that time going to the theaters and... like we talked about, it was one of those times we were theater hopping, so
yes,
got to see that.
Were those big like multiplexes already a thing where you were growing up in? Because with me, it was still those palaces in 1989. They hadn't built those like multiplexes at the malls yet. So all my memories of going at this time is going to like those big like palace theaters with one screen. I don't know if those were a thing yet, those big multi-cineplex with like 10 screens and stuff.
Yeah, we had the multi-theater. The biggest one we have now, we didn't get that, like the IMAX and Lance's favorite, the D box.
The big D.
We didn't get that until like, not when they started coming out, but a few years later. But we have all that. We used to have a drive-in. From what I was told, but I was too young to even remember.
That's awesome. They had to bring back more of those.
But Ghostbusters 2, Bill Murray on this rewatch kind of bothered me.
Really?
A little too much. And the whole Oscar being somebody else's kid, which they never talk about ever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Why didn't you just make it? Why didn't you just make it his kid and he just... wasn't responsible enough to
like an
stick
absentee
around.
Father, huh?
Yeah.
I wonder if it was supposed to be his kid, and then
that's what I'm thinking.
Bill was like, no, man, I'm not doing that.
You're not making me look like that.
I'm the star of this show.
Well, he kind of played it like he was.
Yeah.
And I kind of wanted a little bit more of the other Ghostbusters. Definitely wanted more of Viggo. Instead of him just being a floating head in the picture, I wanted him to be some kind of final showdown, which we didn't really get. The one guy was kind of funny. The guy that was the little foreign guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Peter McNichol.
When he got slimed, he said, "I'm drippings with goo."
You want
me to come inside or
So again, the movie was just way more silly than the first one, because the first one was more adult, I felt like, and there was a lot of themes that were more adult oriented.
The blowjob scene.
But I feel like with this one though, it was very much like tailored towards like kids, because there's that scene where Ray is down there getting the sample right of the slime or the goo.
Yes. Yeah.
And on top, you have Bill Murray and I think Egon, and they're doing their whole Albert and Costello routine with the cops. Here's the thing, though. They actually get to wire Ray back up. Right? First of all, the CGI, this is not their fault. It's horrendous.
Bad CGI, huh?
It's 1989. Let's be real about it. And so everything's going good. Yeah, they're having drama up there with the cops, but they actually got to pick him, raise him up. But as Ray's going up, he's like, "Help me, help me." And I'm like, "Dude, this was going to go exactly. You were being raised back up," but he's freaking out. And that's when he kicks off the pipe that kills the electricity. It's supposed to end, because everything's going according to plan, other than the drama that you don't know about that's going on upstairs. They're still lifting you up, but he's freaking out halfway. It could be because the slime started like grabbing his feet. Maybe there is.
Oh yeah, the pink slime grabbing his feet. There's some activity here.
That did make me laugh, because he's very nice. "There's some activity here, guys. Please lift me up." And you fucking grab his foot and shit. That was pretty funny.
Maybe New York needs some better infrastructure if one rusty pipe can kill the whole city.
Yeah. I know, dude. All the lights.
And there's just other things that could have been done better. Like the whole, like they introduced like Ray was possibly going to be possessed by Vigo like early on in the movie. Yes. But that didn't really happen until the last 10, 15 minutes, if that. Mm-hmm. And then he's only possessed for like a minute. Because all they had to do was slime him.
slimed.
Vigo's main weakness is the slime that he controls.
Explain that, right?
It's a good point.
And I think you said it, Pedro, like it was a little too comedic. Like the foreign curator guy, when he comes to snatch up Oscar... Sure. He's a flying babysitter with a stroller.
Yeah, that's gonna be like some old ghost lady or something.
Which he looks like he's a ghost. Why are you a ghost when you're a possessed person?
Also, I hadn't thought about that.
We'll give him.
Well, you know what? To be fair, just much like any Bill Murray production, this behind the scenes was a complete mess, because you know he's got to have it his way, and then there was a lot of rewrites. So we do see kind of like how they switch directions in mid parts there from time to time. So I'm sure the production wasn't nice. And that's why we didn't have one till 2016. We didn't have another Ghostbusters film, because these guys couldn't get it together and just give us one there, you know. So so you could see how this production was a mess just by looking at the movie.
He didn't want to do that 2016 one, but he sure took that check for that cameo.
Yeah. Well, that's another one that's, you know, are we, as the years go on, depending on the day, it's canon, it's not canon, we just never know.
And what about the cartoon, right? The real Ghostbusters or whatever? Is that canon?
Well, that's them. I mean, I think it is. That's actually...
I guess it is, right?
Then you got the game that everybody was always saying was the true third movie.
Ah, that's right. Yeah. That's right.
The Nintendo game?
No, the... Oh. I think you can get it for like Xbox and PlayStation.
Oh, okay. No, I would never play it. That original Ghostbusters Nintendo game was hard as fuck.
They all were.
You were never supposed to beat any of them. The old ET game where you were trying to get the Reese's Pieces and you kept falling in the hole.
Showing your age, Lance.
That's what Zool was like. You had to climb up all these goddamn stairs and you could never fucking get to the top.
But I don't want to keep bashing it, because I, like I said, it's a soft spot in my heart, because it was the first one I got to see on the big screen. So,
all right,
hey, it's got a nostalgic value for you, and that's okay, no problem.
Yeah, Nostalgia's a hell of a drug, I've heard.
It sure is. Lance, what'd you think about it?
I don't know, man. These movies are kind of fun for me. One thing I like about the Ghostbusters movies, and it's kind of like the Marvel comic books in the universe, like I was kind of telling you guys earlier, it's like they make New York is kind of its own character, you know, like everybody's very New York. You get these super New York accents and different parts of the city and
stuff
like that.
How many times I gotta tell you, I told you the lines over there.
I love it, man. I'm a sucker for that. So
not a lot of cameos in this one too.
Did Trump show up? I can't remember. Did Trump show up?
No, but the most important cameo did Bobby Brown. Trying to get one of those proton packs for his little sister.
Oh man.
Oh man, I knew that guy.
He killed Whitney Houston. Yeah, damn it. But anyway,
allegedly.
All right, it was a fun movie. It was stupid. CGI was horrible. The pink slime was really, really bad. But I got a question. How come at the beginning of the movie, why was that baby stroller like driving on its own? Was the baby already possessed?
It rolled over the slime. My question was why nobody could catch up to it. That was when it made it ridiculous. Like it wasn't going necessarily fast, but nobody could ever just catch up to it.
Yeah. So you had calling in question Dana's mother skills.
Yeah.
She should have been able to catch that stroller.
Oh. Yeah, no doubt. So here's the order that it goes in, Pedro. You had the Battleship Potemkin scene with the stroller going down the stairwell. And then you had, what was the one with Kevin Costner in it, where they were going after Al Capone?
Oh, the Untouchables?
The Untouchables. You had that baby stroller scene. And now you've got this one for the trifecta. I didn't hate the movie. I didn't hate it. Yes, I enjoyed the first Ghostbusters more. This was kind of cheesy with the stuff, you know, oozing under the sewer and all that. But I just love the fact that it was so fucking New York, you know. Hey, that was a fun movie.
I mean, to me, it was silly, right? And silly doesn't necessarily mean bad. It just means silly. And it could be fun.
Yeah, of course.
You know, another thing is, like, you had, like, the Peter Venkman character with the Dana character. Like, they're not in high school. And their entire chemistry in the first half of the movie is like, oh, well, he didn't call. He just left. And I'm like, yo, you both of you are in your 40s. Like, establish some fucking communication here, you know? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm too old for these fucking movies. I don't. But it was just so fucking annoying because, like, yo, you're acting like kids here. Like, literally kids, you know? But anyways, it was a silly movie. And, yeah, if it's silly, could be fun. So I don't disagree. This is not a hill I'm going to die on. For this film. So
Did you guys see the other small cameos? A young Jason Reitman played the kid at the party that basically told the Ghostbusters they weren't shit anymore.
Oh, that was hilarious. Okay.
And then and then Ivan Reitman's other kid, Christine Reitman, was the little girl with the puppy in the little testing area with Egon.
Oh boy.
When he was like, let's take the puppy away and let's see what happens after that.
Yeah.
Right.
Maybe Caitlin Cronenberg was also one of the little kids.
Sounds anarchy.
Yeah, it's my. Outside my house. 89? I don't know about that. It's not that long ago.
Maybe David Cronenberg showed up somewhere in the background. Yeah.
Okay. So when this movie came out, it was 1989. I was like 7-8 years old, it was fucking perfect for my age group. It was definitely geared more towards kids, but look at how many toy sales they got off the original.
And cereal and everything
else. Those proton packs still sell like hotcakes for people my age. So
this one sprung the whole cartoon and everything, you know? Mm-hmm. I think that they knew what they had here, and especially in that age where toy sales were kind of ever. I mean, like He-Man, you know, like they would create shows.
They throw He-Man's name in here.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they do.
Those little spoiled brats wanted He-Man instead of the Ghostbusters.
You guys got actual ghost catchers that save the city and you chant for He-Man.
And still nobody fucking believes in ghosts. I don't understand it.
Especially
they're like,
mayor,
yeah,
right?
Man, we ran a whole fucking business where we were catching ghosts. You guys don't remember that? Happened a couple years ago.
That's another thing. Like, their run as Ghostbusters was relatively short, right? It was like less than 5 years.
Yes.
So like it, I don't know how business went so dry that quick, because if we've already established that there's ghosts, like, that's like a lifelong, that's job security right there.
Cleaned up the whole city.
Yeah, then you go to another city. What about Jersey? Jersey has all kinds of ghosts.
That's for sure.
In more ways than one.
But this one definitely has some nostalgia bait for me too, and I kind of love it. Not as much as the first one, especially going. But I've seen this one more times because I feel like this was the one that they always played on TV. And it's silly. I feel like they ran the first one. They had all the character development or anything and everything. And then they knew what they had, and so they leaned into it hard on this one. And this was like Bill Murray at his Bill Murrayest.
Bill fucking Murray, as they say.
Oh,
huh?
Bill. And the video game I'm talking about was in 2009, and it's called Ghostbusters, the video game, and it's set 2 years. It's set 2 years after this movie.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn, I gotta play that. How do I know?
Yeah, I remember the trailer. All the nerds got all excited for the trailer. I remember of that video game. Mm-hmm. To the point where I thought it was another movie, and I got excited, and so I was like, "Oh, it's just another video game."
But this is, I think, my second favorite Ghostbusters movie. After the original, of course.
Wow. Okay.
Right. And then Afterlife probably comes in behind that. It's not like there's a lot of them, you know, but still.
Well, there's five. I mean, that's
five now.
All right. Scores. Pedro, what is? Do you like Afterlife better than this one?
Yes, I love Afterlife actually, which was why the one we're on top of next was so disappointing. Spoiler alert. But I give it 7 out of 10. I understand it was made over, and I understand that it's fun. It's easily digestible, right? So it's like, yeah, it's cool.
Sure.
I think you could put it on in the background and it'll suck you in from time to time. Whereas
it's straightforward and it is a little bit silly.
Whereas the first one, which is like a tad more cerebral, it's not like a Terrence Malick movie or nothing like that, but it's something to where you have to be more invested, which at times is hard to do when it's like a background movie. So I could see why people would choose this one over that one. So I give it a 7 out of 10.
Brian?
Yeah, I agree. 7 out of 10. It's very nostalgic for me, but it's nowhere near as good as the second one. I felt like they leaned a little too heavy on the comedy. And there was just a couple storylines when I rewatch it now, they could have handled them differently. Like I brought it before, the whole Oscar having a different father, which they just mention it and never go into it. I don't even know why they even said him and Dana are not even together anymore.
I did think about that a couple of times. Weird. I was like, well, who the fuck is this baby's dad?
That's what I was thinking.
Now I will say this. This is the reason, one of the big reasons why it gets a 7 with me. And that's because they had Kurt Fuller in it. Now, Kurt Fuller was everywhere in the 80s. He was that sleazy scumbag in every fucking movie. Mm-hmm.
That guy.
He was like a henchman.
Yeah, 7 out of 10 movies in from 85 to like 90, he was in it, you know? So he was also the lead hero in No Holds Barred, which popped.
Yeah, the evil TV exec.
He was the Ted Turner in No Holds Barred. They just put it that way.
Does he not play that part perfect?
Jockass.
He was born to be that guy in all the movies, for sure. So that gets props for me for him being in it.
Real quick question, Pedro, about No Holds Barred, speaking about him. At the end, when he's just all sweaty and crazy looking,
yes.
You think that's just natural acting ability, or did he take something?
Or a little cocaine, maybe?
Well, it was the 80s. It was Vince was there, and we all know what Vince is now, you know? And so you just never know. Hulk was there, so I think he took a little...
Well, not only 80s, but professional wrestling stuff in the 80s. You know they had some good drugs.
Now, here's my question about No Holds Barred that it breaks the universe when you think about it. So later on, I don't know if Lance and Philip know about this, but later on, Zeus came over to the real world of wrestling to challenge Hulk Hogan, and they had a program. They had a long program. Now, was that Tiny Lister challenging Tia? Was that Zeus that transferred over? And if it was transferred, was he looking for Rip or was he looking for Hulk Hogan? Because it's two different people. This kind of fucking question has always blown my mind because it doesn't make any sense. Because
the multiverse.
It's a multiverse thing.
It is a gimmick, man.
he stepped through one of those Doctor Strange portals looking for Rip and landed in WWE and saw Hulk Hogan and was just like,
oh, man.
Good enough.
Let me tell you something, brother.
Yes, it's very wacky when you think about it.
All right, Lance, what'd you think?
Six and a half. Two-thirds good.
All right, well, I'm going to be the high man on the totem pole on this one. I'm going to go eight. I love this movie.
Nobody hates it then.
I can't remember what I gave the original one, but I'm going to go at least nine on that one.
I'd say it was a little bit higher.
Probably. I probably gave it a 9.5 or a 10, which it deserves, I think. But yeah, this one, I think I'm going to give it an 8. I like it a lot, not as much as the original, but man, it's close. I've seen this way more times, and I still don't hate watching it.
Not bad.
All right. On to the new one.
Hey, you ready, Petra?
What's that?
You ready, Pedro?
Yeah, I mean, it is what it is. You know, we're going to talk about it.
I was excited to hear what you guys were thinking about this one. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Time in New York history, people froze to death in the middle of July.
What is it?
The death chill. The power to kill by fear itself. Your veins turn to rivers of ice. Your bones crack. And the last thing you see.
When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces, plus some extra
new and old.
You don't really know who they are, to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. Is that what's happening?
Sure.
There's so many fucking characters in this movie. Half of them don't even have a purpose. And it's all over the place. People look unhappy to be there through the screen.
Wait. All right, let me get it through the director and writer trivia first, and then we'll go back to it. Sorry. All right, director is Gil Kenan, also known for Monster House and the Poltergeist remake. Oh, wait, this wasn't even the guy that did Afterlife.
No, it wasn't.
No, Jason Reitman stepped aside to be a producer. He James Wan did.
There you go. Writers are Gil Kenan, or Keenan, I don't know, Ivan Reitman and Jason Reitman. The working title for this film was Firehouse, after the Ghostbusters Firehouse. In previous films, the exterior shots of the firehouse were filmed at the Hook and Ladder 8 in the Tribeca neighborhood of Lower Manhattan, New York City. Hey, I know that from the song. After filming was finished on Ghostbusters 2, the firehouse kept half of the sequel sign that hung outside. It was regularly displayed on holidays, particularly Halloween. Eventually, it was permanently moved inside after a successful GoFundMe campaign by fans of the movie in June 2021, which funded a full-scale replica of the Ghostbusters sign. This sign now hangs outside the firehouse year-round. That's cool.
Yeah.
The GoFundMe campaign is now an annual fundraiser for the firehouse, and a celebration is held there on Ghostbusters Day each year. I didn't know there was a Ghostbusters Day, but apparently there is.
There's a whole community of Ghostbusters, like grown men our age walking around hunting ghosts, and that's a thing, which whatever, you know, to each his own.
All right, Pedro, continue.
So we're not in the spoiler section yet. So I'll just say that, again, I didn't really like this film. Again, it was the first one of my little mini marathon that night. So thankfully, the other two made up for it. But it was just very generic. And I hate generic movies. Yeah. More than I'd rather have a bad, boring movie than a generic movie. And there is a difference. And this one was just generic. Everybody was going through the motions.
Ouch.
One of the things that I hate the most, one of my pet peeves when it comes to all these tropes, is the like the privileged kid, you know, the entitled kid that knows everything, right? I hate that. If you're gonna give me that, give me something with substance.
And
right here they didn't do that. They did not give me a privileged entitled kid with substance. They gave me a annoying entitled kid that knew it all. And she's actually the ones that gets them into the shit to begin with because of her know-it-all ways and her ungrateful ways.
Wow. You sound like a parent.
I mean, Jesus Christ, I was like, God damn. And then like again, the characters have no motivation. One of the characters just vanishes, like for a long span of time in the film.
Literally, huh?
I mean, I don't know about literally, but you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Like, I thought maybe that was it for that character, you know?
Well, the thing is that this character, the entire marketing was surrounded around this character, especially with
the afterlife. The return.
Yes, and then here's like, whatever. Again, Bill Murray didn't want to be there, you could tell, more than ever. You know, he usually doesn't want to be anywhere, but particularly in this film. And
must be on a golf course somewhere, right?
Yeah, he just doesn't want to. He probably feels like an idiot throwing on that fucking suit all the time, but that those paychecks kind of make up for it, I guess.
Well, you know, they wrote him a fucking blank check for this for 5 minutes.
So the villain in this movie makes no sense. It's one of those like generic McHollywood villains that look like any other ghost or villain or whatever. So I got disconnected from this movie like halfway. So many characters, right? Like what the fuck?
Yeah,
like,
they were coming out of the woodwork.
They didn't have enough time to fucking develop anybody. I mean,
like
they sort of had already been developed, I guess, but then they didn't. Like they just threw in a bunch of extras.
They didn't follow through on them.
Show us their development.
Yeah. Like that kid Podcast, who doesn't even have a name. I think his name's just Podcast, which is wacky.
Yeah. Where are his parents? Emblem.
I forgot who he was until halfway through the movie.
But the kid was so charming, and he stole our hearts in Afterlife. Sure. They gave him a lot of cool lines, and he had some great delivery. I don't know, maybe not because he's older. I don't know why, but it just didn't work in this film. He got to do nothing. Yeah. You know.
Oh man. He got to carry the hammer around.
And then Finn Wolfhard, he just came to say hello, and then he just does nothing.
He came to say hi, give me my check, bye.
I was going to say, he's only in a couple of scenes, too.
Going back to Stranger Things, see you later.
Yes, and he's getting a little older, too, so they better get on the Stranger Things thing, because I don't know how they're going to work their way around all this shit.
Right.
I don't know, I just didn't, I didn't really dig this film at all. And I'm not, in the spoiler section, I'll get more into it, but it just wasn't for me.
All right, Brian, what'd you think?
I have to agree with Pedro. I didn't really watch. I watched the first trailer, and I didn't watch anything after that. I was just going off of the strength of how much I loved the previous one.
Yeah.
Afterlife. Yeah.
And this one just didn't have no heart to it, no emotion, just. Everybody was just there. You're right. They just kept introducing new character after new character after new character. Mm-hmm. Not even taking time to even explain their association and what they do. One of the characters from the previous movie, they bring her back and she has nothing to do. Finn Wolfhard has nothing to do.
Right.
But Kenna Grace as Phoebe Spangler is a completely different character to me personally.
Okay.
Than she was in the previous movie.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, for sure. She's fucking annoying as fuck.
Although she's also growing up.
So yeah, but
she's a teenager.
You could have gave that same storyline. I'm not trying to spoil it now, but you could have gave that same storyline to Finn Wolfhard's character.
Yeah.
Well, I'm kind of glad they didn't. I mean, but we'll get into that.
Go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say the film rested on Phoebe's character with the ghost. The entire film rested on that relationship getting over, as they say in wrestling. Once that happen, mm-hmm. the film was done because so much rested on that plot device. And to me, it was just stupidity. We'll get to it in the spoiler section, but it was just stupidity how that whole thing played off.
Yeah,
because it was so fucking obvious. You know, maybe it was bad writing. It's like anybody could see what was going to happen. Yeah. And yet this dumb broad, you know, Phoebe, whatever the fuck, she falls for it, hook, line, and sinker, and then gets everybody in the fucking jam, you know? And then, like Paul Rudd's character, like... His entire fucking plot thread is he needs to fucking man up that as a parent, as a stepdad. That's literally his whole character. Sure. And he finally does it. Go ahead.
Are they married?
I don't know,
are they engaged? Because I was so confused. I'm the step
teacher. I was confused too. They don't explain anything.
Because at times it felt like they were together, going to be married, and at times they felt like they were married. I was so confused.
He was just so emasculated in this film. Like, what the fuck,
dude? Yeah, he kind of was.
Like once he fucking quote unquote mans up, he starts taking deep breaths. And he's like, and then Carrie Coon's character is like, it's not easy, is it? No, it's not. Get the fuck out of here, you know.
Well, and what did you guys think about Camille Nanjiani or whatever his name is that popped up
as his character from the Eternals?
Fire Master.
Yeah, that's exactly who he was.
He fucks with a candle for like 2 minutes, and all of a sudden he discovers all his powers. Come on, dude.
He's more of a goofball than anybody else in the whole movie. It doesn't even make any sense.
But it is a comedy. I mean, come on, Philip.
I guess he was like cartoonish.
I feel like I'm dangerously on the edge of spoiling it. So
are you right there?
I'm throwing it to Lance.
All right, Lance, what do you think?
I didn't hate it.
This is right there with Night Swim.
No, it's not right Night there. Swim,
you're gonna give it. You're gonna give this movie a 9 out of 10. I could see it already.
All right, Night Swim at least felt like it was less than 2 hours long. This movie felt like one of those fucking mini series on TV that you watched at seven night long event.
So you're watching The Stands back in 1991 again.
Oh shit! I was like, when the fuck is this movie gonna end? It just felt like it went on and on and on.
Yeah,
and like you guys said, well, they kept introducing new characters, and yeah, there was some comedy there, a particular Mr. Oswald and stuff like that, but yeah. Did they really introduce anybody new that brought much to the story? Not really, you know? So I guess I'm talking myself out of saying I didn't hate it. Maybe I did kind of hate it.
They didn't need to introduce anybody because we were still developing the characters that we got to know in the first one.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
They could have taken 75% of the characters out of this movie and it would have been the same movie.
All right. Here's what I did like about the movie. Phoebe was my favorite character in the first movie. Yeah. And they did. They were smart enough to shine the spotlight on her.
Yeah.
And that's all I'm going to say.
Dumbass moves, though.
Anything, but I don't know. You guys are right. This one was kind of rough. kind of paint by numbers. But, you know, at least you got a lot of good New York stuff there. And, you know, you got the firehouse and you got the shitty mayor that doesn't know how to do shit.
I like that cameo.
I know. I like that too, man. I like that too. But it's just kind of the same exact script as every other Ghostbusters movie, right?
It sounded like whatever they were trying to do with the whole previous title of Ghostbusters Firehouse. I would have liked something that would have been just that location, the firehouse with it.
Well, or delve more. Well, I guess we'll get more into that in spoilers.
I'm kind of wondering why Frozen Empire? Why? I mean, what was the significance of the Ice Age and the cold? And I don't know. That not the best Ghostbusters movie, that's for sure. Definitely the worst of all of them so far.
Well, except the 2016 one. I don't like that one at all.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the one with Melissa McCarthy?
Yeah.
You don't like how she falls down all the time?
No, I don't.
A lot of pratfalls.
I did like What's Her Name in it. I thought she was funny. Kate this McKinnon, was kind of is that her name?
Yeah.
Kate McKinnon. This was kind of a forgettable movie, guys.
That hit it right there. It's a little bit forgettable. Yeah, I sort of had the same feeling. It was a lot of characters that didn't need to be there. And you're right, that whole Ice Age thing, like,
why? Right?
Could have. It was like a reason to bring Camille Nanjiani in or whatever, but like, I don't know. Maybe I did. It seems like they were stretching it. It was like they were using excuses to get more people in the movie. And it's like, no. We need less people in the movie.
It's like they cast people before they had anything written for them.
Right.
Ooh, good point. I'll bet that's exactly what they did.
Because, I mean, they could have gone a totally different direction with it. And I think it totally would have worked. But, it sounds like we're shitting all over it. I'm gonna say it wasn't a bad movie. It just wasn't good. It was kind of meh, you know.
I think with me, what really affects this is that Afterlife really. I had high expectations because I knew that they could make a good Ghostbusters film using this cast and making it more adult and whatnot. Sure. And just looking at themes from that perspective. And then when it was like, no, yeah, you're right. I mean, this film is not. It's not trash. I wouldn't say that. Kids would love it just because it's mindless entertainment. But I was expecting more out of it, and I think that affected the way I see it.
Mindless entertainment.
It is.
I mean, there's just a lot of shit going on the screen. Kids love that shit, you know? They don't give a fuck about plot or characters.
Yeah. Too many cooks in the kitchen, I think.
Many cooks?
Brian. Oh, man. That Too Many Cooks, I watched that like two or three times in a row that night, Brian, when you told us about it.
It's good, ain't it?
It's hilarious, man.
All right, scores. Pedro?
I'm going to go 5/10.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, no, it's not. Yeah, 5/10.
It just wasn't as good.
It wasn't for me. And, yeah.
Brian?
Yeah, I think I'm there. 5/10. It's like, what did we review? Imaginary. This is good for the little kids.
Oh, right.
That was a 3/10 for me, but I wasn't.
And
Our Night Swim, Petra?
Oh, fuck that movie.
And just really thinking about it, I think one of the big problems of this movie is there wasn't a Reitman running things.
Yeah.
Okay.
There was a Reitman, evidently, because Paul Rudd wasn't.
Oh, and did you guys notice, I don't know if you guys remember anything from the trailer, there's stuff in the trailer that wasn't in the movie.
No, I never
like there's supposed shit. Like in the trailer they have these cool red Ghostbusters like parkas, snow jackets.
Oh shit, I didn't
they never wore those in the movie.
Maybe in the next one.
There's probably a ton of shit on the cutting room floor of this one.
You think?
Cut the wrong shit.
That's what I'm saying, man. We didn't get any character development on anybody. I didn't even know who half the people on the fucking screen were. I was like, who the fuck is this guy?
I'm also going 5/10. 5/10. It's not horrible. It's not trash. The villain, the big bad, was kind of scary. Which was kind of cool. You know, it's kind of creepy and scary looking.
But he was very stiff, though. He's one of those
super stiff. And then those, what's up with the horns? Why did the horns give him so much more power?
Because his boss cut him off. They explained that.
Oh,
I think,
man. So he was,
if it didn't have the horns.
He was emasculated just like Paul Rudd, huh?
If it didn't have the horns, then Bill Murray couldn't have said that joke about here. It's called Dr. Blaine.
There's a lot of symbolism in this movie. Let's just put it that way. The times that we live in.
It's like Tenacious D.
5 on 10.
Jack Black wasn't in the movie.
he might have been in the background.
He might have made it a little better. He pops up with KG, and they fucking take his horn, and he's like, "Oh, my fucking horn!"
The horn of destiny.
There's another pet peeve that really got on. Like, you know, when these films start sucking, like shit that wouldn't normally suck starts sucking as well. Like, so one of the kids, the techie guy, he's wearing a Ghostbuster outfit, but is he a ghost? Like, they never tell you who the fuck the Ghostbusters are.
That guy in particular, I don't know his name.
We'll get to the whole separate other team.
Yeah.
What the fuck's going on here? Like, who are the Ghostbusters here? Because there's a shitload of them.
Who are the fuck Ghostbusters B team, huh?
Is it like when you get a job at a lab and they just give you like a shirt or like a button up polo shirt? Like, is that what it is? Explain this to me. Like, what the fuck?
What the fuck are you doing at the control board? Aren't you the janitor?
like you work your way up to getting the actual like beige suit? Is that how? Like, I don't know what's going on here.
But yeah, I'm gonna go 5 on 10 too for the same reason.
Oh wow, okay.
Well, and I think that's the score that it deserves. Like, it wasn't bad, but it definitely wasn't good. I think they just tried to throw too much shit in there, you know. And
yep. Turned into a 12-hour movie. Yeah,
like, if you're going to cut it to less than 2 hours, which I think it was right at about 2 hours, which is great. I think that more movies should do that. But you're going to have to fix the fucking story. You can't just cut things out. That,
I feel like I was watching the It miniseries again on ABC in 1992.
Yeah, like, what's going on here?
Right. Shit. All right. Spoilers.
This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned. This is a motherfucking spoiler alert. You've been fucking warned.
Okay, we can freely talk about the second staff of the Ghostbusters that Winston has funded.
Of random fucking people? Yeah.
Paranormal botanist, and I'm like, are we gonna have like killer ghost plants? Just introduce all these.
Like, yeah,
killer this person weed. Does this, killer this person does weed. That, and then they just you don't see them again.
So when they started the movie out with the ice scene, and then the like the Indian warrior mask holding the brass ball, I thought that was actually really cool.
Okay.
Until you see who wears it.
Well, yeah. and then they go off on so many other little plot tangents.
True.
Yeah, that little sphere or whatever, it went through a lot of different like story plots. Like, is the fucking guy gonna come out of there or not?
Kind of weird, huh?
Yeah.
Like, first he's just freezing people's hands, and then he's fucking with the glass, and then there's that other ghost that just fucking shoots, like, it's like a beam that just, what do they call them? The one that imitates all the fucking objects?
Slimer? No, not Slimer.
Oh, that's Slimer. I guess it's Slimer right now, because he also doesn't make sense in this fucking movie.
The Possessor.
What was that?
The Possessor. Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
It was like that fucking Gremlin Electricity, the one from Gremlin Part 2.
Yeah, that was kind of gimmicky. Really dumb.
Slimer only made sense because it gave Finn Wolfhard something to do, because you already announced he was in the cast, so you had to have him do something.
Right. But if Wolfhard and Slimer been cut out of this entire movie, it would have made zero difference.
You could have easily have had him on the same kind of journey as McKenna Grace's character of being young and trying to fit in somewhere on the team, because, you know, they're constantly, he can't drive the car, they don't trust him, even though he's of age too. They didn't play off of any of that.
Well, because
he just disappears because he has
the characters that don't fucking matter.
He disappears
along with Bill Murray.
Oh, fuck. I don't even understand. The way they introduced Bill Murray into this.
That was terrible. Terrible.
Just so they can bring back the whole shock treatment test?
I guess. That was terrible.
Yeah, with Nadim Razad's character or whatever that's character. Yeah.
Ghostbusters 2 and What About Bob are my favorite Bill Murray movies.
Yeah,
and they even bring back Finn Wolfhard's love interest. I think her name was Lucky. She's a fucking Ghostbuster trained in training.
But you know who's not a Ghostbuster in training or any kind of training in this movie is Rick Moranis. They cannot get this mofo out of retirement, no matter how much they've tried.
They've tried. I don't hate they've that. They've sure tried.
And, I think that's why they put what's her name in the suit.
Annie Potts.
Oh yeah. She looks good.
Yeah, I felt like that was supposed to be Lewis, and they were like, we can't get Rick. Yeah. So Janine, get suited.
Right.
Yeah.
Step up.
And don't expect to do anything. We just need you in the suit.
She does introduce this wacky new gadget that looks like the shield they give to Captain America in Infinity War, where she puts it on her wrist and it fucking comes out. And, like, what the fuck? There was a lot of stuff that was just kind of pushed in there just to say, oh, look who's here now. Look who's here now. Going back to Slimer, like, nobody knew who the fuck this fucking ghost was, and that bothered me. Again, once you're already pissed, you're going to notice all this little shit. Like, no, like, this fucking guy has been with the Ghostbusters since 1984. And
I think
Finn Wolfhard's character, I think he met him in Afterlife, I think. But he's approaching him like he doesn't know him. Well, like nobody ever calls him Slimer, I don't think. I don't know, that little shit is like a pet peeve, but it still fucking bothers me. Just do these motherfuckers know this ghost or not, you know? Because I know for a fact that they've communicated with Slimer on numerous occasions. In previous films, and yet here they're reacting like they've seen them for the first time, you know.
Well, they had to get that product, all that product placement in there. Pedro,
you know,
they got ahead of pay for the movie.
You know what cameos did work for me? There was small.
The Finn Wolfhard one.
No,
because that was
the Bill Murray one.
They brought back the inspector guy, Walter Peck, who is now
the mayor,
and then. They went back to the original library, and that is the same actor that was the head librarian.
Oh. Yes, I thought it was. Yeah.
See, fun stuff like that is a good nod to the fans, but
yeah.
See, Aykroyd was kind of fun in this movie, right? He was kind of still nerdy and dweebish. Had his little cult thing going.
He's kind of been the representative of the Ghostbusters for years. Like Dan Aykroyd. Yeah. Has never ran away from this franchise. He's kind of like the flag bearer.
Embraced it, sure.
Yes. And so I think that's why he's more invested. And you could tell he's more invested in the character, whereas Bill Murray couldn't give a fuck. And so
I like Ernie Hudson in it.
Ernie Hudson is good. He's good. His character doesn't make sense. He took a big drastic jump from the last time we saw him. But hey, it's been years, so I get it.
Yeah.
All of a sudden he has all this money and he's funding all this shit. And also, I know I'm not stupid, but they explain to you how all this shit works. And I guarantee you, if you were to watch it back, it still doesn't make any fucking sense. You know, it's still like,
well, come science on, man.
Jumble.
Well of course it is.
It's Ghostbusters.
But these MCU movies, I mean, I know, like
the flux capacitor.
I know how the StarTech works. Like, they've explained it to me. Right. It doesn't exist in real life, but I know how it works, you know. Yeah, because, I mean, they had... What do you call where the ghosts live at? Does that even have a name? What is that called?
The ghost dimension?
No, that's not the ghost dimension.
The thing in the firehouse where they store all the ghosts?
Yeah, where they put the little gimmick in and then press a button and then the ghosts just wherever the fuck they live at forever.
The ghost trash can? I don't know.
Okay, is that what Loki went when he got fucking zapped with the stick? Or how does that work?
Probably. Like, probably.
Here's my idea. I think that they should have run with that. The thing is getting overloaded. The ghosts start escaping.
Yeah. Ghostbusters Firehouse.
Right. And we got to figure that out.
Nice and simple.
Okay. And then they threw in this extra fucking story and threw in a bunch of extra characters, and it just...
I know.
It watered it down too much.
Yeah, because somebody said you got to have a thing. You got to have an artifact. The wrong person gets a hold of, opens it, and then
we need a MacGuffin.
Yeah, you have this world-stopping entity that comes out of it.
Yeah,
that it would have been really cool if this wasn't for kids, because like that scene with the icicle, giant icicles popping up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought because the trailer starts with that. Remember, the trailer starts. It shows you how New York City is getting all these icicles and popping up, and
it's another scene that's not in the trailer.
The trailer is way darker than the film.
The love interest for Finn Wolfhard, she gets frozen in the the trailer, and you got the close up of her eye.
But not in the movie. Huh?
The Ghostbuster in training.
She never gets frozen.
They all get frozen there for a second until.
Well, not like in the trailer, because she had straight fear, like she was dying.
Yeah, until the ghost tries to redeem herself and lights the match or whatever, and then Camille Nunjari comes in like he's from a totally fucking different movie.
He did the finger guns like the I'm about to say the Elementals. What the fuck was it called?
Oh yeah, just like
the Eternals. Elementals. Eternals.
Yeah.
Eternals. Yeah. Elementals. Eternals. Whatever.
That movie's garbage.
Like, why are you doing finger guns?
Right. They should have had Paperboy.
Well, because he ain't gonna do them in part two from everything we've heard. So might as well do them in this movie.
Slow down. All right, you guys ready to wrap up?
Yeah, Paul Rudd, you're better.
Yeah, right. Again, that whole thing about his whole, like, you know, arc of, like, trying to be a good stepdad, just literally by setting boundaries, the simplest, well, it's not so simple, but, you know, the expectation as a parent is that you set boundaries, that's literally his arc. Like, come on, bro. Like, and they have that whole scene where it's like, how many parents, like, do that every day? And for this movie, it's supposed to be, like, this big thing, you know? Guy's 55 years old, and he's over here afraid to set boundaries with his kid. You know what I'm saying? Like... But anyways,
had the movie just been like the four new Ghostbusters with cameos from the originals, just like Afterlife was,
and then I'll podcast because he didn't do shit anyway, so
would have been great.
So instead
again, where is his parents? He's staying with this man he just met.
Dan Aykroyd's like taking care of him, right? I mean, let's hope it's not a Michael Jackson scenario.
Dude, anyway. I watched that Nickelodeon fucking thing.
Oh, shit, I watched that, too.
Holy shit.
They are fucking monsters.
Yeah. Quiet on the Set is called. Four-part series.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Too.
It's on Max Land.
And I imagine it's not just Nickelodeon.
No, you remember that? And I forgot which episode it was. We're off, totally off topic. But one of the guys that was fired for his... evil shit he was doing, got a job at Disney after.
Yeah,
he went to
jail for
somebody that worked on the staff,
had to register as a sex offender, and then got hired on a Disney show.
Somebody at Nickelodeon on one of the shows, Lance, was an actual convicted sex offender, and they hired him. He was on the staff.
There was like three of them on the same fucking show.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, it's horrible.
Watch it, Lance. It's on Max.
Yeah, all right. I'll get around to it. But in the meantime, instead of Frozen Empire, this should be Ghostbusters 5/10, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't really good. It was disappointing.
All right. Well,
slot machine. That's a jackpot.
Anyway, thanks for joining us, Pedro. What's going on with you, man?
I'm excited. I'm just excited for wrestling's very. I mean, Brian's gonna back me up on this. Wrestling's on fire right now. You know, I consider going to a WrestleMania this year in Philadelphia. Man, that get-in price is like $200.
To get in the door.
First market price. It's not even secondary market. And that's nosebleed. So right now they're on fire. They're selling out all the shows that they do. And so it's just an exciting time to be a fan right now. The Rock is killing it. You know, he's going to wrestle twice at WrestleMania 9. Once, actually, just in the tag match. And AEW's picking it up as well. They've got some good things coming up. They're more centered on, like, just having some great matches, dream matches, and they're doing just that. So I'm just kind of excited to be a fan right now of wrestling. So that's what I've been doing with my spare time, watching wrestling.
Cool. All right, man. Well, you're always welcome here, dude. We appreciate when you swing by, and thanks for helping us out on March Madness.
Oh, no problem. It's always. I think I've been to all of them. I think I've.
I think so. Just yeah.
And I've worked the gamut of just working out. So it's always fun to do those shows.
You've probably worked every possible role that we have doing a March Madness episode.
Yes.
You've been the heel. You've been the hero. You've been
the heel and the babyface. Right.
That's right.
So thank you guys for having me. It's always fun to do these.
Always. All right. And as always, we want to thank you guys for listening to another episode of The Horror Returns. We would love to hear your feedback and ideas. You can reach us at thehorrorreturns@gmail.com. Check us out on all of our social medias and thehorrorreturns.com. Next week, we're going to check out the brand new Godzilla X Kong, The New Empire, and also go back to 1962 for King Kong versus Godzilla. So, Philip, until the horror returns again,
good night.